Listening Library presents Heroes of the Valley by Jonathan Stroud. Read for you by David Thorne.
Listen, then, and I'll tell you again of the Battle of the Rock. But none of your usual wriggling, or I'll stop before I've begun. In those early years after the settlers came, the Trolls infested the whole valley, from river's mouth to high stones. After dark, not a home, not a byre, not a stable was safe from them. Their tunnels honeycombed the fields and went under the farmers' doors. Each night saw cows taken from the pastures and sheep from the slopes. Men walking late were snatched under within sight of home. Women and babies were dragged from their beds. In the morning, their blankets were found half buried in the earth. No one knew where the Trolls' holes might open next, or what might be done. To begin with, the people of each house paved their farms with heavy granite slabs. Hall, stable, yards, and all, so that the Trolls could not break through. And they circled the buildings with high stone walls and posted guards upon them. This improved matters. But at night, the fingers of the Trolls could still be heard tap, tap, tapping below the floor stones, searching for weaknesses. It was not a pleasant situation. Now, for some years, Svein had been in his prime, the greatest hero of the valley. He had slain many Trolls in single combat, as well as ridding the roads of outlaws, wolves, and other menaces. But not everyone had his prowess, and he thought it was time to do something about the problem, once and for all. So he called the other heroes together one day in midsummer. All 12 met on a meadow midway along the valley, near where Eirik's house is now. And to begin with, there was much bristling of beards and flexing of shoulders, and every hand was on its sword hilt. But Svein said, "Friends, it's no secret we've had our differences in the past. My leg is scarred, Kettle, where your spear point struck, and I fancy your backside still aches where I shot that arrow. But today I propose a truce. These Trolls are getting out of hand. I suggest we stand together and drive them from the valley. What about it?" As you'd expect, the others coughed and hummed, and looked in every direction but at Svein. At last, Egil stepped forward. "Svein," said he, "your words are like an arrow bolt in my heart. I'll stand with you." And one by one, motivated perhaps by shame as much as bravery, the others did likewise. Then Tord said, "That's all very well, but what's in it for us?" Svein said, "If we vow to protect the valley, it henceforth belongs to us forevermore. How's that sound?" The others said that would do very nicely. Then Orm said, "Where shall we make our stand?" "I know the very place," said Svein. And he led the way to where a great rock rose from the meadow, tilted on its side in the wet earth. Heaven knows how it got there. It's half again as big as a farmhouse, as if a piece of the cliffs above the valley had been snapped off by a giant and tossed into the field for fun. This stone lies aslant, so that it rises like a ramp from the field. The lower portion is covered in grass and moss, but the higher parts are bare. A coppice of pine trees grows about it, and one or two trees are even balanced on the rock itself. It was called the Wedge then, but they call it Battle Rock now. Gatherings at Eirik's house are held there. You'll see it one day. Svein then said, Friends, let our next action, which summons the Trolls, also bond us, so that we protect each other as best we can. Then they drew their swords, and each one cut another's forearm, so that their blood dripped upon the earth at the base of the great stone. The sun was just going down. That's good timing, Svein said. Now we wait. The men stood there, side by side along the rock's base, staring out across the fields. It so happened that the stone walls around the houses had been very successful at keeping the Trolls out, so that famine gnawed in their bellies and made them desperate for the meat of men. When they smelled the spilled blood in the earth, they came hastening from far away. But to begin with, the men heard nothing. After a while, Svein said, These Trolls are getting sluggish. We'll catch our death of cold standing here all night. And Rurik said, The women will have drunk the kegs dry by the time we get home. This weighs on my mind. And Gisli said, This field of yours, Eirik, is really very bumpy. We should do you a favour and till it for you, once we've killed the Trolls. Just then they heard a faint, persistent noise, a scratchy sort of hum. It came from underground and all around them. That's good, Svein said. I was getting bored. While they were waiting, the moon had come out over Styr's Widow, which is the mountain with the hump peak you can see from Gudni's window, and it shone its light full on the ground. And all across the field they could see the nettles and tussocks shaking as the Trolls passed beneath them, tearing through the soil. Soon every inch of ground on that great field was settling and shifting back and forth as if it were water. But the men had their boots on solid rock and stood steady, though they did move back a pace. Then Gisli said, That's one job we don't have to do after all. Eirik's field is going to be nicely tilled before the night's over. But that was one comment too many for Gisli. Just as he spoke, the ground at his feet exploded with a shower of earth, and a Troll rose up, grabbed Gisli by the neck with its long, thin hands, and pulled him down onto his knees in the mud of the field. Then it bit his throat out. Gisli was so surprised, he didn't say anything. With this, the moon went behind a cloud, and the men were left blind. They took another step back in the darkness, holding their swords in front of them, and listening to Gisli's body thrashing on the ground. A minute went by. All at once, the sound of digging rose from a hum to a mutter to a roar, and along the base of the tilted rock the Trolls burst forth, spattering the men with soil and reaching with their clasping fingers. Svein and the rest stepped back again, a little way up the rock, for they knew that Trolls are weakened when they no longer touch the earth. And soon they heard the claws clicking on the stone. Then, blinded as they were, they swung their swords mightily and had the satisfaction of hearing several heads go bouncing down upon the rock. But as the dead Trolls fell, new ones erupted from the churned muck of the field, and still more came pressing behind them, snapping their teeth and stretching out their thin, thin arms. Little by little, the line drew back up the slope, fighting all the way. The sides of that rock are steep and cliff-like, yet the Trolls clambered up them even so. The hero guessed
Sample complete. Ready to continue?